Turn tonight, if you would, to Mark chapter number 5. Mark 5. And I'm speaking tonight on the thought, the subject, the cure of a mental case. The cure of a mental case. Mark chapter 5, and I want to begin reading at verse 1. I'll read through verse 5, number 5 to start with. Mark 5, verse 1 through 5. The Bible says, and they came over on the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And bless now as we stand here and attempt to share, to teach, to explain, to rightly divide the word of truth. May the truth of this passage tonight find lodging place and application in our own hearts and lives as we reflect upon the healing power of God, of the grace of God. Now, Father, bless us this evening, and we'll ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My son today sent me a couple pictures. His recent trip over to Israel, his honeymoon trip, in fact, he and his wife visited the actual site of where this took place there on the Sea of Galilee. And he sent me a couple pictures today. They took the time to visit that same spot while they were there where this event, where this miracle literally took place. This man from the Gadarenes was a mental case, but Jesus healed him, as we see here in this account. This man was totally beside himself. He was out of control. He was demon-possessed. His mind was totally mixed up, messed up. He was a confused person. He was a dangerous person. He was destructive. He not only was a threat to other people, but he literally was cutting himself. And he had an unusual place where he dwelled. He dwelled among tombs. He just basically was a demon-possessed man. And that demon, if that demon-possessed man was alive today, the first thing anyone would do would send him off to a mental institution somewhere. That would probably be the course of action. But the wonderful thing about this portion of Scripture is the fact that this tombstone terrorist got tamed. If I can put it like that. The tombstone terrorist got tamed. There are two basic things that I want to give you this evening. I want to share with you tonight. First of all, I want us to consider the mental case. And then I want us to consider the miraculous miracle that took place. So the mental case. We've read the verses there. We've looked at verses 1 through 5. Now, we're told in this passage of Scripture that he had an unclean spirit. But not only did he have an unclean spirit, but also he was possessed by a legion of demons. Interestingly enough, a legion, in fact, verse number 9, it says, "What is thy name?" He answered, "My name is Legion, for we're many." Now, you might be interested to know that a legion, when in terms of a Roman army, we're talking in terms of from 2,000 to 6,000 men, possibly, when it came to the matter of a legion. So this man had a legion of unclean spirits or demons indwelling him. And also, too, when you read this account out, there were 2,000 pigs, 2,000 swine. And so if you do your math, if let's say there were indeed 6,000 demons that were cast out of this man, they, of course, as the Bible does say, they entered into that herd of swine. then that would have been possibly, I'm just throwing this out, that would have possibly been three demons per pig. And of course they couldn't tolerate the presence of the demons, so they committed what we could call suicide. Now, you look at verses 3 and 4, you see the man's depravity. Verse number 3, his depravity. He had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could tame him, no, not with chains. This man had his dwelling among the dead. The demons in him drove him away from the living to a life in a cemetery. Now, could you imagine that? His entire life was being spent among the dead, in contrast to God's people, in contrast to Christians, in contrast to Christianity. Christianity, salvation, we think of the light, we think of the living. But in the case of the lost, the unsaved, the dead in trespasses and in sin, we think of those that dwell among the dead. His mental state, and here's where I want to transition into a thought that I want us to ponder a little bit here this evening. His mental state was tied in with his spiritual state. It's important to see that. His mental state was tied in with his spiritual state. His immediate need was not an institution or an asylum. That was not his immediate need. He needed more than pills, a potion, and psychology. He needed more. His mental state required the treatment of the cause rather than the symptom. He had a spiritual problem. Now, it may sound simplistic as far as his main basic problem, but his problem was simplistic enough to be called sin. That's why he was where he was. That's why he was in the condition he was in. Because of sin. We look at Genesis chapter 6 verse number 5. We're told, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of his heart was only evil continually. That's Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Now those tonight, may I say this, those that are bound in sin cannot be delivered by a pill, a priest, or a psychologist, or a psychiatrist, or a program, but rather the person of Christ. Deliverance has to come from the person of Christ. He is the antidote for the poison of sin. He is the cure for the sin condition. He is the solution to the problem. Now, let me move right on to my second point. Consider the miraculous cure. Look at verse number 8. For he said unto him, that's Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Come out of the man. Jesus did not, and I'm glad for this, Jesus did not avoid this man because he wanted to deliver this man from the grip of Satan. Jesus came to the coast where he was. In spite of the man raging out of control, just totally overcome by sin, Jesus still intentionally visited the coast where he was. You know, this leads me to say tonight, there are no hopeless cases with God. No one is beyond the pale of hope. Thank the Lord tonight, there are no hopeless cases. Where sin hath abounded, grace does much more abound. Now, several people throughout Scripture and throughout the lives of the testimonies of the people of God have found this to be true, that nothing is too big for God. There is no case too hopeless. We could cite several biblical examples. We could talk about like Zacchaeus in a tree. Zacchaeus in a tree. He found out there was no case too big for God. There was Saul on the road to Damascus. He found out no case was too strong for God. There was an Ethiopian eunuch coming from Jerusalem, had been worshiping. And Philip joined himself to the chariot. And before the dust settles from that chariot, that eunuch got saved by the grace of God and followed up even in believer's baptism. No case too hard for God. Leading me to say tonight that there's no baggage but what a person carries, but what God can't deliver us from the spiritual baggages that people have. We look at people, and here's the difference. We look at people and we see their problems, but God looks at people and sees their potential. He sees what He can make out of their lives. We see a drunk, but God sees a potential deacon. We see a drug addict, but God sees a potential preacher. We see a harlot, but God sees a potential choir member. If we surrender the crab apple life of sin to Him, He, by His grace, turns it into a golden, delicious life. He can turn a thorn into a rose. And He can turn an acorn into an oak. We see people and problems, but God sees people and potential. He once took a man by the name of Jacob, who was a schemer, and made an Israel out of him, or a prince of God, or prince with God. He once took Simon, a cursing fisherman, and made a Simon Peter, an apostle out of him. He took a Saul, who was a persecutor, and turned him into a proclaimer of the gospel. Now coming back to this man here, in Mark 5, here's what you see. Jesus did a total makeover on this mental case. He did a total makeover. You know, people today are getting makeovers. They call it total makeovers. You ladies know what I'm talking about. I can't really relate to that. It'd take more than a total makeover to straighten me out. I'll tell you that much right now. I don't know how total is. We can get all the totals and makeovers we want, but it's still not going to stop the aging process, and many times it's not going to stem ugliness. This man had a total makeover. Now, here's what we see. Look at verse number 15. I'll prove my point here. It says in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, note this, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus did three things to this man in his total makeover. He changed him, He clothed him, and He calmed him. That's the kind of makeover people need. I want to make a transition here to a point that I think is important in this day and time. We need to understand something tonight about this issue that I'm going to address. We need to understand in the context of this passage, first of all, that this man didn't have a physical brain problem. This man had a spiritual mind problem. It was not a brain problem, it was a mind problem. Yes, it's a fact today mental instability is widespread, but the treatment method is flawed to the core. For there is a failure to see the difference between the brain and the mind. The brain and the mind. Every time there's an instance of killing, the response is automatic to provide mental help. That's always a recourse. The activity, and think about this, the activity of evil is a spiritual mind issue. Spiritual mind issue. There are many, and you all know this, there are many sweet, loving people who have issues in the brain, but don't go on a killing spree. Would you agree with that? There's a difference between the brain and the mind. When it comes to brain treatment, chemical imbalances, yes, oftentimes require medical treatment. We get that when we talk about the brain. The brain, and here's the key point, the brain is physical, but the mind is non-physical. It's non-physical. When God made us, He created a trichotomy being. Body, soul, spirit. And theologians say body, world consciousness, soul, self-consciousness, spirit, God consciousness. We are a trichotomy in that sense. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now to break this down further, the mind is related to the soul and it's tied with emotions, feeling, self-consciousness. The word psychology, if you break that down, it is derived from the word psyche, which is a Greek word for soul. Soul. Since God created man who is fearfully and wonderfully made, only He can correct the mind or the heart, the non-physical. Only He can do that. We all, here's a humbling thought. We all received a poor self-image at the time we were born. We got it from day one. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to get beat around when we were in school to get it. We didn't have to be the subject matter of some bully. We didn't have to become a self-conscious, pull-in-the-corner type person that's all alone. We got that poor self-image from birth. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. We were born as a sinner. We were born in a pickle to start with, in a bind. We were born with all kinds of stripes against us. Proper, and here again, think about this. I believe that proper mental health requires repentance and repudiation of the sin problem, which results in the display of evil. This man here did not have a physical brain problem. This man had a spiritual mind problem. The Bible's teaching on the mind reveals that the only real treatment has to be spiritual. Now, the Baker Theological Dictionary of the Bible defines the mind as this, and this is pretty noteworthy. The mind is a part of the human being in which thought takes place, and perception and decisions to do good, evil, and the like come to expression. So you see what I'm doing? There's a distinction to be made between the brain and the mind. The brain, physical. The mind, non-physical. Now let's look at a few scriptures. Ephesians 4:17, we note this. Here's what we find. The mind is prone to vanity and bad conduct due to the fallen condition. Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind." The vanity of your mind. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The mind or the heart. Now we can mention the heart too. There's a synonymous issue between the mind and the heart. There's an association. They're very similar, talking about the same thing. The mind or the heart is a courtroom of evil. Did you know that? It's a courtroom of evil. "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Matthew 15, verse 19. The heart refers to the whole inner person. And as seen, and is seen, the heart now we're talking about, it's seen to be the same in a spiritual sense as the mind. But it's to still be seen as distinct from the physical brain or the physical heart. When we talk about the mind or the heart, we're not talking about the physical organs. We're talking about the inner person in a spiritual sense. The spiritual heart and mind determines proper moral thinking, judging, understanding, and willingness to do right. What about this? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. The mind is a creation of God designed to be the tabernacle of His truth and wisdom, enabling man to know and love God entirely. The state of the unbeliever's mind is depraved, blinded, and darkened. This man here had a mind problem, not a brain problem. Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, not brain, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Ephesians 4, 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The heart, the mind, synonymous. The immaterial, the spiritual entity, not the brain, the physical entity, but no, the spiritual entity. This man here had a mind problem. While there are many people who have chemical imbalances in their brain, everyone is born with a spiritual imbalance in the mind or heart. We're born that way. Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. We're not talking about a brain with a chemical imbalance. We're talking about a corrupt mind that drove this man wild. And that's why I say today, in this world, it's not a brain problem much as it's a mind problem. And only the divine physician can straighten up that mind. The activity of evil is a result of the wicked heart, and only Jesus Christ can redeem, save, and turn around a cemetery sinner into a changed saint. That's right. What about this one? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When these people go into these classrooms like those kids have done recently and mow down precious little children, they don't have a brain problem. They've got a mind problem. They've got an evil heart. They've got a fallen nature expressing itself. That's what that is. Mental institution is not the answer. I'll tell you what the answer is. The ultimate answer is Christ. Salvation. And I know this is simplistic because I know that people are geared to think anymore. We turn to doctors for everything. We think medicine is the automatic answer. But I'm old fashioned enough to believe tonight the core problem of the mess this world's in is a mind, heart, spiritual problem. People are warped. And don't think for a moment there's not still demon possession going on and people doing lewd. The lewd behavior, the murdering, the wickedness, the deceit, and all those same things within the category of that passage of Scripture, that is nothing but demonic activity. People need God in their lives. Pardon me, I have to remind myself quite often, this is Wednesday night, for heaven's sake, we're not supposed to get loud on a Wednesday. We're supposed to teach and keep it cool on Wednesday, I know that. The same book, the same Bible, the same message, the same Holy Spirit, and I have the same joy whatever day it is. I can't help it. I'm passionate about this tonight. This world today is filled with people who have mind problems. Spiritual, heart. Only God can cure wicked mental cases as this man from the Gadarenes. And so this evening, praise the Lord, you and I once were among those tombs and we once we're miserable in sin, but thank the Lord, Jesus came to our coast. He came to where we was, and He interrupted our sinful, wicked lifestyle and changed our hearts in life. What a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. God turns everything around, doesn't He? And that's who people need today. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's someone today, whether here or out there watching this evening over the internet, that does not truly know the Lord as their Savior, who are living in a state of fear and restlessness and no peace in their heart and soul, may they realize that the same God that came to the coast of this man of the Gadarenes and dealt with the people there, dealt with that man there about his wicked condition and cast out those demons. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight you still work that same way. And I pray if there's anybody unsaved tonight that's watching this program, that if they're an unsaved person, may they call upon Him tonight, say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake and cleanse me and make me whole. Lord, if someone needs to pray that prayer from the heart, may they do that, Lord. And bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.